Welcome to the Going Deeper podcast, where we take Sunday's sermon and go deeper so that we might know God's word and be transformed by it. When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 11:2. We talked about humility on Sunday morning as we're in Mark chapter 10, and we saw this account with James and John and even their mother Salome, who comes to Jesus and asks if her sons can sit on his right and his left. Now, again, that's not in Mark's account in Mark chapter 10, but it is over in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20, where we see Salome come up. It says, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with their sons, bowing down and making request of him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit one on your right and one on your left. There's a mother who thinks very highly, obviously, of her sons, James and John, and she's commanding that Jesus have her boys sit on his right and his left. And obviously she understood what those seats represented, that in a royal court, those were the seats of honor. And she's saying, Jesus, I want my sons to be honored in your kingdom, to be honored and have authority as they sit on your right and your left. Salome obviously had a lot of pride as well. Pride maybe in herself, definitely pride, very proud of her sons. We know James and John's father, Zebedee, was a well-to-do businessman as a fisherman, and he had employees that worked for him, and so he was very well off in his fishing business, and James and John were then to take over his fishing business. But you've got this mother who comes up as very proud of her boys. And it kind of reminds me of those parents at sporting events, their own children's sporting events, that are upset because their child is sitting on the bench. They think that their child is the best one on the team, and so they're going to let the coach know that their child needs to be put in the game. And they say it loud enough for their children to hear. Where do you think the pride came from with James and John? I think Salome had a hand in that. She was a proud mother. And they knew that. They called on her. Obviously, being Mary's sister, Jesus's aunt, you could say, is there coming and asking for Jesus to have James and John sit on the right and the left in his kingdom. A very proud mother, proud of her sons. And these boys are very proud. And then we can see where Jesus even says, are you able to drink this cup? And are you able to be baptized with this baptism with which I am baptized? And they arrogantly say, we are able. We are able to do this. Well, they weren't at that time, as we saw when the hardships come, the suffering comes. When Jesus is arrested, all of the guys fled. They didn't want to be there with Jesus. They didn't want to suffer with him. They all left. But James and John did learn this lesson of humility. They did end up suffering, and they became martyrs. James, as we said in Acts chapter 12, becomes a martyr. And then John is the last apostle to die, and he's on the island of Patmos, where he's doing hard labor and is suffering persecution for his faith. And what's interesting is this week I was reading a book called 5 Minutes in Church History by Stephen Nichols. It's a great little book that I would encourage you to pick up. It teaches you some about these men who have gone before us. Teaches us about the history of the church and all the things that men before us have gone through, and the suffering that they've gone through, the things that they've gone through for the sake of the gospel, and just a wonderful read so far. But at the beginning of the book, there's One of the first two chapters that are in here, actually, it's chapter 2 and chapter 3 in this book, are about two men who are actually the disciples of John the Apostle, Ignatius and Polycarp. These two men, Ignatius and Polycarp, were disciples of John the Apostle. And these two men, Ignatius and Polycarp, they also became martyrs. They became martyrs. They were killed for their faith. Ignatius was killed for his faith, and Polycarp was killed for his faith. And these men learned what it is to be a martyr because of the Apostle John. And how did John become a martyr? How was it that John, we see where he was at in Mark chapter 10, and then we see the end of his life where he becomes a martyr for Christ. How does he get to that position where he's able to endure the suffering that he's able to endure? And I believe that the reason why the Apostle John was able to endure the things that he was able to endure was because of his humility. That is, his low position in Christ. And Jesus said, what did he say? If you want to be great, you must become a servant. You must be a servant. If you want to be first, you shall be slave of all. That is the lowest of low positions. You must be a servant and a slave of all. And then Jesus says in Mark 10:45, or even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, John and James as well, but John was able to endure the persecution that he went through and the suffering that he went through and the hardship that he went through because he understood his position in Christ. He understood that Christ was king and that he needed to humble himself under the authority of Christ. And therefore, everything that he did, he lived to the glory and honor of Christ. And so therefore, when even suffering comes and hardship comes, he's able to endure that because he realizes and recognizes that life isn't about him. He realizes and recognizes that the reason why he's enduring the hardship and the suffering that he's going through is because of his position in Christ, because he is a servant and a slave of Christ. And because he is one who is living in obedience to Christ, and he knows the world hates Christians and those who serve Christ, he therefore went through the suffering and the hardship that he went through, but he was able to endure it because he saw himself as nothing. Because he saw himself as he is supposed to see himself. That is a humble man under the authority of Christ. And when you are in a position like that, you are then able to endure hardships and suffering, realizing and recognizing that life is not all about you. Life isn't about me. But what does pride do? Pride puffs up. Pride says life is all about me. Pride says, oh, poor me, look at all the things that I am going through. I just want to escape this hardship and this suffering. And that's exactly what the disciples did, right? They left. There's Jesus suffering. There's Jesus being arrested. Where were they at? Nowhere to be found. Gone. They left. There's Jesus going on trial. Where are his disciples at? Gone. Even when Peter was asked by a little girl, hey, haven't you been with him? What is he? No, not me. What a prideful answer. He thought highly of himself and he didn't want to go through the suffering and the persecution. But eventually they did. Why? Because they learned humility. Look, you know, the best way for you to prepare for suffering and hardship is to learn this virtue of humility. That's the best way. Because when we realize and recognize that life isn't all about us, that life isn't about me, then when hardships come and persecution comes, when suffering comes for the sake of Christ, I'm able to endure it because I already have a proper mindset. I'm already thinking correctly and going, well, of course I'm going to go through all this hardship for Christ because it's not about me. It's not even, life's not about me. And so I'm not going to say, woe is me, oh, poor me. I'm going to have joy in the midst of trial and tribulation and persecution because I'm in a humble position before the Lord, knowing that He is in ultimate authority and I'm just called to be a servant. I'm just called to be a slave and live in obedience to Him. You see, that's such a great lesson for us to learn humility. Again, like I said, we don't have to learn pride. Pride is already in us, right? It's natural. It's in the natural man. We're prideful people. We think highly of ourselves. But Jesus says, look, it's not that way in my kingdom. My people are to be humble people. They are to humble themselves before me. And God calls us to humble ourselves before Him. In fact, Peter even talks about this in 1 Peter, where he says that God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. We want the grace of God, right? If we want the grace of God, we've got to realize and recognize that God has called us to be humble people. I pray that this is something that God continues to work on in your heart as He is working on it in my heart as well, that we would be a humble people that are servants and slaves of Christ and of one another, that we would love Christ above all, and that we would love others as ourselves, as the two greatest commandments tell us to do. And the only way that we are able to properly do that and to live that out in our lives is when we first humble ourselves before Christ. May we be a humble people. Hey, listen, I want to invite you this Wednesday, a week from today, July 14th, we're going to be having another Wednesday teaching night. And the topic for this Wednesday is going to be practicing discernment. I would encourage you to be there 6:30 p.m. Come and learn about being a discerning believer as we live for Christ in this world. Also a reminder, July 18th, we will not be at Charleston Event Center. We will be meeting over at Northwestern Nazareth Chapel at 9 o'clock for Sunday service. And then we will be having baptisms following that. And then we will have a time of fellowship after that as well. I hope to see all of you there. May you serve our King this week with a heart of humility. God bless.